Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the second season of A&K on the Runway.
Hey!
We are back with season 16 of Project Runway, and it appears this is going to be just a very interesting season.
Yeah.
Just by the previews alone.
What did you think of those previews?
Seems like we're going to have a lot of drama.
Drama!
Lots of crying, and there's usually crying on the show, but a lot of crying.
Yes.
And not like the Ashley cry from last season.
Two seasons ago, but
right.
Yes.
Yes.
Where she, yes. So we get into the usual.
Wait. Okay. Hold on. One of the previews showed that there could be potential cheating.
Yes.
And Tim Gunn is very upset. So I am intrigued by what that is. Usually it's not as big of a deal as Project Runway previews will make it out to be. So
right.
Take that with a grain of salt.
Yes. So very interested to see where that goes. So to start the show off, we get the usual meet and greet.
Yeah, quick montage of everybody.
But this, the meet and greet, kind of set the tone for the rest of the show in that they just pushed the gas pedal through this entire thing.
Yeah.
We didn't get a whole lot of detail throughout this entire show.
To be fair, there was a whole like hour and a half preview show that we intended to watch but didn't actually watch yet, so maybe they went into greater detail.
Unfortunately, we don't get paid to make this podcast yet. We have other things to do in our lives, so we were not able to get to that preview show.
Yes.
Sorry, guys.
One other thing that they seem to push very heavily during this like meet and greet, one was ad placement, but that's not shocking. I think it was like a Grey Goose.
Sure.
An espresso sort of thing, which sounds not great. Mm-mm. But there's identical twins on the show this season, and they made it out like this was the twins' party.
Yeah.
And the thing about the twins, and I'm not going to keep referring to them as that. Their names are Sean and Claire.
Well, here's the thing, though. This is something that our friends Adam and Taylor pointed out on The Bachelor a couple seasons ago, where they had twins on there, is that that becomes their thing. They are they are not separate people because they are never treated as separate people in
right.
this entire show.
They're doing interviews.
They are interviewed together. Anytime that there is a critique, it is
one's like looking
it
on.
Is, yes, one is looking on, and it is about how Sean's aesthetic is this, but mine's more this. And then whenever Claire designs clothes, she is better at doing this, and Sean is better at doing this. And like they're always shown together. So they are going to be one contestant.
And maybe my thought was maybe that's where the cheating comes into a little bit, but I don't know. That's pure speculation.
Well, I'm also curious if because they spent a ton of time on them in this show,
mm-hmm.
if the producers are going to want to keep them around
for sure.
together, because
they're another Cornelius.
I would not be surprised if when one of them goes, the next one goes within the next week or two.
I could see that. I think that's a great point. Let's just talk a little bit about these women before we kind of move on, because they spent so much time with it. It was a very, Sean and Claire heavy episode. So they talked about how they have designed for Katy Perry. They dressed her for some event, and they have an internship with Betsy Johnson. My first thought in hearing both of those things was, why are they on this show?
Right.
Project Runway is not a springboard into the fashion world. 16 seasons in, and it's just not that. It never has been. And this year, it's sponsored by JCPenney's. So that is about as far away from high fashion. And I shop at JCPenney, not to knock them, but that's not at all a high fashion brand.
Mm-hmm.
And Betsy Johnson, I mean, she shows at New York Fashion Week. So it just seemed odd that they were there.
Yeah.
And the second thing, these girls probably went to some sort of boarding school or finishing school or something like that, because they're very well spoken. I applaud that. but they over enunciate everything to death, and you can tell it's already annoying the other contestants, and it's grating to watch and to listen to.
It got to the point to where when they, you know, kind of ran out the accolades that they already had, we asked, you know, each other, why are they there? Mm-hmm. And then as the show went on, I'm just like, God, why are you here? I don't want to deal with you this entire season. I hope you both go away very, very soon.
Yeah, it's just, it's a lot. It's kind of an act, I have to imagine.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
So it's something to keep an eye on, I think.
And in the same category of why are you here, we have Brandon.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon states that he has never worked in women's fashion. He is strictly a men's fashion designer. And so it's like, well, why would you choose Project Runway to be your jump off into women's fashion?
Why would they take him on the show?
Right.
That makes me roll my eyes, because you can tell this season they're done taking themselves seriously as a show, you know, to be taken seriously in the fashion world. They are here for gimmicks now. We've got identical twins. We've got someone that has never made a women's outfit in his life on a women's design show. So this is where we're at. This is what the show is.
Yeah. Which is unfortunate.
Yeah. Because these are talented people.
Right. One other thing I noticed about all the contestants as they are kind of introducing them, there seems to be a lot more older contestants than there usually are.
I did notice that as well.
You do have a handful that are in their
mm-hmm.
mid to late 20s, but you have a lot that are 30 and up, and then there's maybe even one or two that are 40 and up.
Yeah. And so we may not have some of the, like, schoolgirl drama from that we had last season, potentially, which would be nice.
Yeah, for sure.
So nothing else really notable from kind of the meet and greet, get to know you. One contestant, Deontay, his wife is about to give birth, and she's like, yeah, just go on the show. And I turned to Curtis at that moment and said that would never happen for him. So, sorry, you can't go on Project Runway.
Well, it's too bad. I would also like to state right from the jump, I don't like Aaron. I think I'm going to hate him this entire season. He reminds me of the other Aaron from last season. And I'm just now making that connection that they have the same name.
Yeah.
I hate him.
So Aaron is an androgynous designer that really plays in the gray area of men and women's fashion design. And that's all he said. And he reiterated that.
I'm okay with that, I guess. Mm-hmm. I think it's more of just the same thing with Aaron last season, where they think that they're being like cool and hip and edgy, when really they're just making really bad looking clothes.
They actually look very similar as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Everything about this Aaron reminds me of the old Aaron, and I hate him for it. But I also hate him for him being him.
Yes. So we don't waste any time. We get right into the first challenge. Tim and Heidi pull in a bus, and Tim informs the group that their challenge is to create a red carpet look that showcases you as a designer. Pretty straightforward, and I appreciate that.
For sure. And then after that, we get the big reveal of the season, and that is that the contestants will be dealing with models of all sizes this season. And in this particular challenge, and it seems like in every challenge going forward, the models have been assigned to them at random. And so they will be dealing with a new model each challenge, and by extension, dealing with a different body type each challenge.
Can I get on a soapbox for a little bit here?
You go for it.
So we knew prior to the premiere episode that this season was going to be models of all sizes. So before the models come out of the bus, Tim informs the designers that there will be models from sizes 2 to 22. And they come off the bus and they're all standing there. And I'm just calling BS right here and now. There is no woman on that show that even approaches a size 22. So this is a very admirable thing that they're doing, but be honest about it. If you're not being honest about it, there's no authenticity to this moment of trying to break barriers. And then no one's going to take it seriously. It's hard to guesstimate size, but probably the largest size was maybe a 16, which is not a 22. And they kept emphasizing in these promo articles and when the judges went on these talk shows to talk about this new season, about how a lot of fashion houses and designers only go up to a size 14. So they're really not pushing the boundaries that they think they are. The woman who probably was the largest size probably wasn't even the size of Ashley Graham, if we're, you know, trying to think of famous celebrities. I also think this is a very admirable thing, like I said, but something that's wrong with how society, the fashion industry, and just people in general approach sizing is still missing here. And you can see that in how the designers talked about the women that they were assigned to. We see Ashley Graham as today's standard for the, you know, breaking the mold sort of model. The thing about Ashley Graham, she is a beautiful woman. There's no doubt about that. But she's not breaking barriers in the sense that she still looks like a model. Her body is just a little bit bigger than the models. You don't see her with rolls or dimples. Yes, she has a thicker body, but there's nothing about that that's revolutionary. Granted, it is for the fashion industry that only purports to allow women that are size 2 or 4 to matter. And that is breaking the barriers. But we are still not comfortable with the idea of seeing women that don't look like that, that actually have imperfections on their bodies and aren't just a little bit of a bigger version of the size 2 or 4 models that we're used to. And if you see a lot of Ashley Graham's ads or when she was in Sports Illustrated, for example, she's not actually showing off her body. The photographers and the, you know, production directors for those photo shoots, they put her laying in the sand on her stomach, where Gigi Hadid was, you know, on her knees with her top off. Ashley Graham will likely not have those shots. Then don't even get me started about the Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition anyways. But so to just finish up and get off the soapbox, Project Runway is doing a great thing by having, and you know, models of all sizes and not just a size 2 or 4. And, you know, just to say one size doesn't fit all, that seems to be the catchphrase. But they're not being as revolutionary as they will claim to be. Many of these women that are not the size 2 or 4 mostly just have larger breasts. They don't have a larger body. They might have an hourglass figure. So again, baby steps. But we are not pushing as many boundaries as I think they would like to. And I think it's important to note that so that we can continue to break down those barriers. So off the soapbox, we can continue if you've got any feedback to that.
For the most part, I do agree. I think across the board with plus size models, you're still dealing with women who are models. So they're generally taller.
Right.
So even if they are bigger women, they just are carrying it a lot different than a woman that might weigh the same, but is a solid 6 to 8 inches shorter, mm-hmm. like around your average height woman.
Uh-huh.
I guess in the show's defense, they do have, it did seem like there were 2 to 3 women in this group that were a little bit bigger in the hips, thighs, butt region. So
that's
I
true.
Think that the real challenge in this season is going to be designing for those women.
And I do have a question as to how it will continue to work going forward. Because if they're randomly assigned, and there are definitely more conventional body type models than the, and I'm using air quotes, plus size models in
right.
the group, So as designers are eliminated, how do they decide to eliminate the models? That wasn't explained to us.
Yes, for sure.
So, you know, let's see. It'll definitely be a challenge to see how the designers work with these different body types, because you can't just take what you were going to design for a 2 or a 4 and just make it bigger. It's an engineering practice here. It's like if you were, building a house. Well, you can't just take, the layout for, a 1-bedroom house and just make it bigger. Mm-hmm. You have to really think about it and think about dimensions. And it's a true challenge. And I think if you're an actual professional, you would take that on.
Yeah. Another kind of a side note, sticking with the models, it appears that they are going to be an actual part of this show.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that.
They had these kind of weird, they're called modeled mirrors, where it's essentially an interview with the model as they're like looking in a mirror.
As they're staring in a mirror.
And they're talking about the outfit that is being designed for them, which I guess I kind of appreciate. Like, they're making an effort in this season to show that not all women fit into this box of, like you said, the size 2 to 4, and that's what is the, gold standard of attractiveness and fashion. Then it's kind of showcasing that these women aren't just essentially mannequins and hangers. Like, they have a story to tell, they have personalities, and hopefully these outfits that are being designed for them, those personalities can come out in those.
I think that I feel like they're doing this as part of the rise of like the Instagram model culture, things like that. I'm not sure if we truly care what the models think, and I don't say that to be callous. I only say that in the sense that they're not the designer's clients. In the sense that when we had the Every Woman Challenge, or if they had their family members, and they're kind of making it out like they are. So I think that's interesting, and we'll have to see how that progresses throughout the season.
I suppose I appreciate it a little bit more than just seeing these dead-faced, emotionless women walking down the runway every week, and the only time you ever get to see any emotion or input from them is kind of just in the very quick clips of them putting things together in the workroom. And then when they're in the judge, during judgment, when in the rare time that one of the judges asks, how do you feel in this outfit? And they're just like, okay.
Well, this is before you would have started watching Project Runway, but in 2009, 2010, somewhere in there, they actually had a spinoff series like Models of the Runway. It was a 30-minute show right after Project Runway where Heidi would kind of mentor the models, and they'd talk about, what it was like to be a model and be on the show. And that didn't seem very popular because there's not a whole lot. We don't actually get to know these women, and it was the chance to do it, but they were just being eliminated. There wasn't any sort of connection to them on the show. So they stopped doing that, but so they're sort of bringing it back in a way. And after 16 seasons, you do have to sort of innovate a little bit. So we're off to Mood. We've got the challenge. We know what we're working with for the season. But we're still moving at a very quick pace. You see kind of flashes. It's true montage, really.
Yeah. And with 16 contestants in the first show, and it's just an hour and a half long, you're really going to get that. Mm-hmm. Like, they're just going to push this through, because we may not be holding on to many of these people for very long. So.
For sure. And kind of the takeaways from the sketching time and Mood, at least for me, was that, the emphasis on Brandon never designing women's wear and then getting one of the larger models. I feel like I need to use better phrasing. We'll come up with better phrasing for how to describe the bodies, because that's a sensitive topic. We're not trying to be insensitive, but we're also need to use descriptive language. That's something we'll have to work on.
And that was something that came up during the show.
Yeah.
In which one of the designers, Cha-Cha,
he was a huge douche.
He's from Taiwan. Part of me wants to give him the benefit of the doubt with a lost in translation kind of moment.
Cultural difference.
Exactly. But he basically came out and just calls his model fat in a very negative way, in that like it was preventing him from designing something that looked
really
good.
Wanted
exactly.
To do.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's
and everybody
great.
Was everybody was just kind of like a did that just happen?
Yeah. And so you kind of then, you know, you get a correction from the other designers, which is great. Because this show started in, I want to say, like, if it's 16 seasons, it had to start in maybe 2002, 2003, perhaps somewhere in there. This would have been unthinkable in those days. And that's great. Like, look at the progress that we're making. I think that's important. But we also have to remember, too, yeah, he is from Taiwan. I think that's important to point out. Other cultures treat women and bodies and fashion differently. So we're not letting him totally off the hook, but just a little bit.
For sure. So we get to the Tim Gunn critiques. And like we said before, they really just fly through these things. There's not a ton to really glean from this.
No.
You have Aaron that's trying to make a top that looks like pants and a bottom that looks like shirt.
Tuxedo inspired.
Right.
Somehow.
Tim liked it, unfortunately.
And it's the same cast of characters. Cha-Cha, Sean and Claire. You know, they're getting a lot of screen time.
Yes. Cha-Cha describes the woman that he is trying to design for is very cute and fun and would like to design for somebody like an Ariana Grande or a Miley Cyrus. And I was done at that point.
The worst!
So, yeah, he's trying to design for the 16 to 19-year-old set, I guess.
And it's just kind of funny to see Tim Gunn, who you have to figure at this point has seen just about anything.
Yeah.
And he is incredible in ways that he can look at something that is just an absolute train wreck and really just kind of be like, you have to hone it in here. Maybe take this away, put this here, change this design, and, you know, make it work with just the dumpster fire that he has in front of him. And he looks at what Cha-Cha has going on and what Cha-Cha says his design aesthetic is, and just he gives him nothing.
No, he's like, commit to it or don't, and then walks away.
Like, just absolutely no direction whatsoever.
I think he realized it was a lost cause.
Yeah,
perhaps.
Probably. Probably.
So we get to model fittings. Really not even much out of those.
No.
Quick things. We're not spending any amount of time with any one designer. More of those model mirrors. So we get to the day of the runway show. Still not a lot. We have different sponsors for the accessories wall and the hair and makeup thing. They are big on the ad placement this season.
Mm-hmm.
Cha-Cha's adding more weird ruffles. Brandon's struggling with his crop top. And Sean is making weird leather shorts. So that's kind of all we've got for that. But we get to the runway.
Our guest judge for this runway show is Olivia Munn, who I personally am a big fan of.
I do like her.
And it's kind of unfortunate because in the preview, they kind of gave a rundown as to who some of the guest judges were. And it was just
garbage.
Just a run of basic white girl after
just
basic white girl.
Garbage.
And then it's like, Olivia Munn. Okay, cool. Yeah. I like her. And then she gets wasted on the first episode.
First one.
Which, I guess, was probably good placement for Project Runway because this is a red carpet ready wear challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And of all the people that got run down there, Olivia Munn, probably the only one that's been on a red carpet.
Like the only one.
Like a serious red carpet. Like an Oscars.
Not just like
Golden Globes.
The, you know, 100th music award show they have now that really doesn't matter.
Right.
So maybe she can give us some input.
Right. Kenya's look is the first one down the runway. She has a white mermaid dress It has pockets in it, and it's strapless. I thought this was a great silhouette. It was very, very chic. I thought it was just more wedding day than it was red carpet.
Yeah, I can definitely see wedding dress in this. It is beautiful. It's simple. The silhouette is really great for this model. And the styling was really good, but this is not an original design. Reese Witherspoon has worn this dress in just different fabrics and different colors on multiple red carpets. So she constructed it well. There's just no real design there. Kazani's look is next, and it's a bit confusing. So it is an oversized vest coat over, I'm going to say they're either leggings or like ankle pants. And it's in the colors of Valentine's Day. So the oversized vest is in a deep red, and then it has some like light pink trim on it, and then at the bottom and around the neck. And then there is kind of a color blocking of that light pink on one of the legs of the pants. Kind of a confusing look. This isn't red carpet to me at all. And I know there's now many different types of red carpet, but it just seems pretty blah, and it's very shapeless. It's just this oversized vest.
Right. I said shapeless as well. I didn't think it was a red carpet look. He has a pretty much your standard fashion model, tall and skinny. Mm-hmm. And so this just ends up kind of looking like it's draped on her. However, I did think it looked like it was well made. Everything looks, you know, very, very well constructed. It doesn't look like there's anything that's, you know, asymmetrical, misshaped, anything like that. So
that is true.
It at least had that going for it.
That is true.
Next we have Ayana, and she has a black long sleeve, long dress. Ayana is Muslim, and it seems that her aesthetic overall is pulling from her Muslim roots. She said earlier in the show that she strives to make clothes that are, you know, kind of modest, but still edgy, fashionable, and look good.
Mm-hmm.
I did think that this look stuck to that. I like the design. I'm not sure I like the fabric. It's kind of this black kind of sheen.
I thought it was more silver.
Sure. I mean, in the, like, it kind of is black, but kind of shiny and silvery. Mm-hmm. So, yes.
Kind of like a black lamé sort of fabric.
Right. I thought it did have maybe a slightly odd fit.
Yeah.
I don't know if it has to do with just the lighting and the material, but the model had what looked like a slight kind of baby bump in some of the angles, so.
Yeah, I think it's the placement. She put this applique of kind of flowers, like a flower design, over the chest and then onto the left arm and kind of down a little bit at the front. And it is pretty, but the placement seems odd. The train is way too long on this, and that makes it look unfinished and messy. It could have been a very sleek gown, and then she added this like 3 foot long train. Sean's look walked the runway next, and it's a bit bizarre. So it is this white tank cape is what I'm calling it. It's a crop top. It's like a white jersey fabric, and it has one shoulder where it's kind of like a cape. So over the left shoulder, it's just trailing off. And then going into the right side, like on her rib, it's sort of tied. And then there's this other long trail. And then she put her in silver leather shorts. And it's kind of bizarre because this could have been beautiful if she completed the look. It seemed like she started making something and then lost her time or messed up and then had to just throw these like silver boxer shorts on her. And it's not really red carpet. Like this could be an editorial sort of thing, but there's no red carpet where someone's wearing that look.
I thought it was kind of cool. Agreed that it's not really for the red carpet. I think in a different challenge, this may have been a better look. I thought that she did a good job kind of playing with the flowiness. I think that if, you know, when you think red carpet, you think these long flowing gowns.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't do that with the bottom. She did that with the sleeves. I thought that that was, you know, kind of a cool design aspect. But just those silver shorts doesn't work with it at all. Like,
yeah,
if she had like a pant, or as they say later on in the episode, like a skirt or mm-hmm. a dress with that,
mm-hmm.
that works a lot better. But
if she had a knee-length pencil skirt, even.
Yeah, these shorts just don't look that good.
Not at all.
Batani is the next designer whose look comes down the runway. And this is where we get our first look at a plus-size model. She goes with a kind of a flat gray dress. She has some kind of maroon embellishments throughout the dress, as well as kind of like a white, flowery, large print lace.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of around the midsection, and then it goes around to the back and comes down the back as well. It's kind of plain. I thought it was well designed, though, but the lace down the back is in a very, very unfortunate position.
Mm-hmm.
This dress is backless.
It's a halter.
And so the only place to put this is just right down the model's butt.
Yeah.
It looks like she's trailing toilet paper. Ooh, so
yeah. So this is kind of it's a weird mix between an A-line and a mermaid. So the front is A-line because it looks A-line in the front, but she's added this extra part coming off right underneath, you know, the halter, covering her stomach essentially. But then the back, because she's got that weird lace applique, looks like it's almost trying to be a mermaid. I like the colors, like I like gray,
mm-hmm.
but the applique is messy and the piping details from that magenta just don't add anything to it. And it could be really pretty overall, but it's also just too long and just very, it's just messy. Next we see Claire's look, and I really like this. I think it's very beautiful. I think the color choice of the bodice is unfortunate because it washes out the model's skin tone.
Mm-hmm.
But what it is a cocktail dress. It's in kind of some bright tones.
Like it kind of moves from an orange to a peach.
Some like citrusy colors,
sure.
Perhaps. And it's a spaghetti strap. It's got kind of a corseted bodice into a tulle skirt. Has some extra volume on the left side. And then it goes into like a light peach into, like Curtis said, some orange and some pinks. The color is unfortunate because she had her model has very pale skin. And so she probably should have picked some better color for the bodice choice and then for the shoes. Altogether, the styling isn't great, but I think this dress is great.
When the model turned to come down the runway, I had the exact same thoughts that you did. I was mm-hmm. like, oh, that looks really, really good. And then you stop and you look at it and things just start to go bad.
Yeah.
I thought this looked a little too much like a ballerina.
Oh, I could see that. Okay.
Like it's almost like a leotard top
mm-hmm.
and then a tutu almost on the bottom.
Yeah.
But then you just keep looking down. And the tutu starts to look more like a poodle skirt. And
man, I see all this now.
Like the coloring, I mean, I appreciate that she added some color into
mm-hmm.
it. But it's almost like she purposefully designed it for this model. Because like all the colors that are in this outfit are colors that are already on the model. Because the model has kind of reddish hair.
Mm-hmm.
And so like there was a moment when she got to the very, very end in the model, back to the entrance of the runway
mm-hmm.
and turned and paused. And there was a shot of her and it was just like everything just blended. And so after, I was like, that's not that great to me. Like
yeah.
She should have had a little more design to it and taken her model into consideration when choosing the colors and the design for this.
For sure. The critical eye is not there in this outfit.
For sure. Next, we have Brandon. Brandon designed a, stick with me on this one here, people. It's a camo patterned crop top. The camo is blacks and grays and whites and pinks. And then a pink skirt, long pink skirt with kind of some striped trim. It's not bad. I thought it was a, and then also of note, Brandon also has who is probably the largest model on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought this was a very, very well-designed look for that model. Everything fits really, really well. And especially for a model of that size to go with a crop top, it's really, really well made.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell, like you could tell in the lead up to the runway talking to this model and just how she was walking, she felt really, really comfortable in this.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's red carpet, mm-hmm. but overall, I thought this was a really, really good design.
I just don't know how I feel about it because it is not red carpet. I mean, sure, fine. Wear it to the Billboard Music Awards. Wear it to the MTV Movie Awards. Fine. I think that's a bit of a cop-out of being like, well, I want to do streetwear, so that's the red carpet.
Right.
Brandon said that he designs oversized menswear. But the only thing oversized is just a flowy skirt. So I, you know, kind of applaud his ability to do it. There's just something about it that seemed a little too shapeless of the skirt, but I think that's the design, you know, and she really liked it and she looked really good in it.
One thing to note with the skirt though, is that it had a high slit on the side. So she was showing some leg as she comes down too.
That's true.
So he didn't hide the model at all.
Not at all. And he made it look cool. Like he had these ties going down like the left sleeve and he had kind of a like unique neckline to it. And we've seen some bad crop tops on the show mm-hmm. for sure. So, you know, he did a good job for probably never have designing a crop top.
Yeah.
The next look is unfortunate. It is Cha-Cha's look and it is horrendous.
I want to throw up and kill myself.
It's clown colors and clown design. He has made a cocktail dress that it has oversized puff sleeves and a ruffle neckline. Like this is a child's Halloween costume and they're Lisa Frank colors for sure. So it's like a very shiny unicorn type fabric.
Mm-hmm.
And then the ruffle clown collar is a shiny pink. And he said that his model had a big butt and so he wanted to put shiny fabric on it. And I was like, oh boy, you can't. Like, if you're saying that about any model, you can't design for women. And it was just, this is just bad.
It is just a train wreck of, like you said, a clown in like 80s prom yeah. with these shiny pink ruffles.
And a side pony.
Yeah, there was a side pony. Admittedly, though, it doesn't look as bad as I thought it was going to look. It seems to be well made in terms of you're not seeing...
He did a nice stitching, 80s puff sleeve. How
bad,
about that?
Like you're not seeing bad stitching. You're not seeing anything like that. It is pretty plain. I don't know if it's just the bar was set super, super low in the first place. But as I looked at this, I was like, okay... Not great, but not as bad as I thought it was going to be.
As Nina says, there's a taste problem here.
For sure. Next, we have Amy. Amy is probably the oldest competitor on the show.
I think so.
She is a professor at a design school. So, again, kind of like a, what are you really trying to prove mm-hmm. by coming here? She makes this long black or navy blue, dark navy blue jacket that... As the model comes down the runway, she takes off and it converts into a long skirt. Both look, I mean, it looks impeccably made. Everything yeah. looks really, really nice. I just think it's a little too early to be pulling out big guns like that. Like, kind of maybe wait till a different challenge to break that out. I would like to, and when the model takes this jacket off, She is basically just wearing what looks like a swimsuit top.
Yeah, it's just a bikini top.
Right. I would have liked to see some sort of top on underneath that jacket just to give it a little more taste, I guess.
Yeah.
But overall, like, this garment moves really, really well as both a jacket and a skirt, which is pretty impressive.
I didn't like it as a jacket, and so she had cigarette pants under the jacket.
Right.
And the jacket was shapeless because it becomes a big skirt. So it looks like a muumuu like that. But the skirt is beautiful. If she would have just made that whole thing into a dress, because as a skirt in the bikini top, it looked unfinished. It looked like the opposite of Sean's, you know, look where she kind of just had to throw on some shorts. It's that she made this beautiful, great skirt of a dress and didn't finish the top and then just stuck her in, you know, a bikini top. And it's an innovative concept. I'm just not sure about the execution of it. Like Curtis said, you know, is this really the time to pull out a big gun like this when you just created this beautiful red carpet look and we didn't need this? Because how is that going to work on the red carpet? Is she just going to be constantly changing mm-hmm. it back and forth?
Right.
That was my question. Next, we have a pretty abhorrent look from Sentil.
Hate it.
The styling is just so 90s. First, let's just start. We'll go head to toe here. He has styled her hair into a series of, I don't even know what you call that, like mini ponytails a la something Gwen Stefani would do in the 90s.
So yeah, it is just these like tightly wound pigtails all over her head.
Yes. So then going into the very shapeless dress, it is a boat neck gold lame, almost ankle length dress. The shoulders have a pointy spike on them, essentially, and the sleeves are open, and that is the only skin that you see. I think this model would have been one that's not a 2 or a 4, so she probably is maybe an 8, and he didn't know what to do with her body. And it is a tent. It is a gold lame tent. And I wrote that she looks like something that Will Ferrell's character would wear in that Ben Stiller movie about models. And I couldn't think of the movie's name.
Zoolander?
Zoolander. It's totally something that his character would wear in that.
Yeah, I didn't really like this either. The hair is dumb. It's just really very movie costumey, like a futuristic princess would wear this or something like that. It just kind of a, like you said, you can't really tell what this model's body shape is because it's just this gold blob.
And no one wants that. No one's like, oh, dress me in a shapeless tent so no one can see anything, any part of my body.
Yeah. Next we have Kentaro. He designed a very long, flowy black halter top with a white long skirt underneath. I thought this looked great. It's very, very well made. The contrast between black and white looks really, really good. There's lots of flow and movement, which is exactly what you, again, like I said earlier, exactly what you think of when you think of a red carpet. It's just long, flowy dresses. So I thought this was a great look.
I'm torn on how successful this actually was. The top is very 2000s. It's not modern at all. So it's definitely a halter going into an off-the-shoulder look, which was very big then. There's kind of tiers of this. Maybe it might even be a black chiffon, you know, going into just individual, almost like octopus tentacles over the white skirt. And it did have nice flow to it. I'd be curious to see more from him. I think this is a divisive dress, probably. Mm-hmm. Deontay's dress is next, and it's beautiful.
That dress looks delish. What things that make you go, mmm?
It is a one-shoulder long gown with a very large flower print. But he's taken great care in how he has aligned the print. Because he does have some sort of, it's not just like an A-line. There's a little bit of an opening.
I want to say they said it was two pieces.
Oh, wow. Okay. So there's an overlay of this dress over the bottom piece, I think, then.
Yeah.
And it's, like I said, a bold floral in sort of like a yellow and orange color. And it's beautiful. She looks great in it. Like, Michelle Obama would wear this dress, and they commented on that in the show.
Right. This is another one of the plus size models. And yes.
I wouldn't even say she's plus size. She's like normal.
See, but the thing is, like, she's curvier. Like,
she has big boobs.
I think she is one of those that has a bigger hips and a bigger butt, too.
Sure, which, i.e. normal. I'm not discounting you. Interesting how the vernacular we're using.
Anyway, this dress accentuates the curves that she has, does not hide them at all. Like you said, everything is very, very well placed in terms of the pattern. It's very, very well made. I thought it was just kind of plain just because there's not much to it other than the pattern.
Not an innovative design.
Exactly. Next, we have Michael. Michael was somebody that wasn't featured all that much on the during the show. And I think this is just a very bad combo. He has black pinstripe pants that are very kind of baggy. And then this, again, kind of a halter top, fuzzy, black, shiny thing going on up top.
Limited to in 1999.
There you go. And it's just way too much going on between those two things. The top looks like they killed a Muppet and, yes. and made a top out of it.
Yeah. And the pants are odd in the sense that they're very ill-fitting. They're a wide leg pant, and then up at about the calf, there's a slit in them, and that's not innovative. The whole design is not modern. Between the pinstripes and this weird halter fuzzy sweater, someone would have worn that non-ironically in the early 90s on a red carpet, unfortunately. And so I think this is a bottom look. Next is Aaron's look, and he has, again, a halter top. It's this reverse tuxedo thing. So he's got this black, essentially it's really a tube top with just a collar on it. So there's a piece of black fabric that runs up to a collar around her neck that has a button on it right over her throat. And then the pants are like a wide leg white pant with the kind of this fold over at the top. And
to make it look like a collar, I'm assuming.
Oh, yeah, that's right, because it's supposed to look like a shirt. So now I can see, I forgot that part. So now I can see, like, there's buttons going down, like, you know, kind of where buttons would be on a pants, but they're exaggerated. And then there's like cuffs on the pants, so it looks like the sleeves. So it's unique. It's well constructed, I think, except, you know, maybe the top of the pants. I see the tuxedo. I see it overall. Someone like Kate Blanchett would wear this on the red carpet. It's got a unique perspective.
I'm not really seeing it. Like, I guess now that you've said it and looking at it in, you know, more detail, I do like the collar on the top and then the cuffs on the pants, but pants have cuffs too, so it's not like that's that much of a stretch.
Yeah.
And then I don't really see the pants as the top thing either. I'm not all that impressed with this. He also did a really weird styling with the model's makeup.
Yeah.
She has like, it looks like eye black on, like she is a football player or something.
That's true.
So, whatever. That's all I have to say, is whatever. Next, we have Samantha. Samantha has just your pretty standard black dress here. There's a couple accents in the bust area and then in the pleats in the skirt on the bottom. But other than that, there's not too much all that remarkable about it. She does have probably the most normal sized model so far. And I think it's a great dress for just your average woman. But other than that, there's not much that really stands out about this.
Yeah, it's not very exciting. It's just kind of your average like wedding guest dress. It's a V-neck on the front and the back. You know, she's created some design details with, you know, creating, I think it's a leather detailing around the waist and around the V-neck on the front. And then I don't really love the pleats. And then it's a asymmetrical hemline. It really is just ho-hum. And the details that she's put in aren't very unique. The last look comes from Margarita. And I think this is great. It's an awesome look. It's a two-piece with a very wide-leg palazzo pant and a bright red. And she has kind of this like crop top, sort of bra top on. And then these sort of tufts of, this makes it sound ugly, but tufts of like magenta and red fabric going into a long cape. And I think it's beautiful and it works well and it's dramatic and elegant for the red carpet because it's a great color and the styling is really on point.
I did like the construction of this. I thought that the shoulder puff things are unnecessary, but without them, you just kind of have this red mass. Like I said, it's well constructed. It's flowy. So I did like it overall.
Okay. Who are your top and bottom three?
My top three are Kentaro, Deontay, and Amy. My bottom three are Batani, Centel, and Cha-Cha.
My top three are Margarita, Kenya, and Deontay. And my bottom three are Cha-Cha, Michael, and Centel. And as we get into the judging, we kind of go quickly through the judging as well, I think. Really, you know, what's notable is just knowing who comes out on top and bottom. The judges didn't really add a lot more than, you know, what we said, except for, so they were talking with Sean, who ended up being on the bottom. You know, Zach called it hookery and club wear, and Nina, you know, called her out saying the shorts were a cop-out and saying that the outfit looked like a C celebrity without a good stylist. Which is funny because Olivia Munn said she would have requested to try the outfit on.
Yeah. So we do end up with our six people. Our Kenya, Sean, Cha-Cha, Deontay, Brandon, and Batani.
And they really applauded Brandon's use of embracing his model's body. And then he was standing right next to Batani, who got called out, who said she wanted to camouflage her model's stomach.
Right. And I think that interaction hopefully will set the tone for what the rest of this season is, in that you are designing for the model that you have, not necessarily kind of, oh, well, I don't really know what I'm doing here, so I'm just going to make something that kind of hides everything.
Yeah, like a big tent.
And hopefully I can move on.
Yeah, they really are looking for true design no matter what size model you are paired with.
Right. They said to Kenya that everything was very, very well made on her dress, especially in one day. And they said that that was Oscar's red carpet ready, which is exactly what Kenya was designing for. And just to keep with the theme of Cha-Cha, again, nobody really knows what to say to him.
No.
For his design. They thought it was dance recital. There was no design to it. He didn't really respect the model's figure. Yeah. And this was after a very long pause of just people looking at him.
Zach said it was My Little Pony zone, which definitely true.
Yes.
So in the end, we have Brandon, Deontay, and Kenya on top, and Sean, Cha-Cha, and Batani on the bottom.
So who are your picks to win and go home from these six?
My winner is Deontay. They loved his dress. All the judges had great things to say about it. And they applauded his use of using a big print. Out I have his cha-cha. There's just nothing redeeming about this dress. And I think the judges thought that too. Although, the closer look kind of threw a wrench in that for me, because it turned out that that long trail of applique lace that
Batani
put on the back of the dress was hiding a ginormous hole.
Yeah, I thought that might be her ticket hole.
Yeah. Who did you have winning and losing?
I also had Cha-Cha losing. Mm-hmm. I thought that they were going to reward Brandon for not only making something that really kind of accentuated his model's attitude and how she felt and what she felt comfortable wearing, but also just because he's never worked with women before.
Very impressive.
And they were really, really focusing on him throughout the entire episode. Mm-hmm. So I kind of thought that he might be the winner. In the end, though, Cha-Cha does go home, and we see that Deontay is chosen as the winner.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, I'm okay with. Deontay did a fantastic job as well.
Yeah, it was very beautiful.
One thing of note, though, just something that I kind of thought of while we've been looking at these and talking at this, is that is like mid-90s to early 2000s fashion coming back?
It is, unfortunately,
because
coming back.
Because, like, Sean's outfit, I could see like one of the Spice Girls wearing that,
mm-hmm.
or Britney Spears wearing that. And Brandon's outfit, I could see like Little Kim showing up to the VMAs in 2000.
What's old is new again.
I guess so.
So that's the first episode. I mean, it was a whirlwind one. It was also just some weird elements that they are maybe trying to introduce for the new season, like this kind of a little bit of behind the scenes that seems just like unnecessary filler footage. But we'll see how it goes.
You also see things like cameramen and shots and stuff like that. So, yeah, I don't know what they're going to try and do with all of that this season.
Okay, so what are your power rankings?
My fifth is Brandon. I was very impressed with what he did. Especially considering he has never worked in women's fashion before.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the look that he put together, like I've said before, really fit his model well, both physically and personality-wise. Mm-hmm. I think it seems like he's going to have a good eye, just basing off one episode, a really good eye for that. So I have him as my fifth.
I have Claire as my fifth. I know she's one of the kind of grading twins, but I happen to like her look and her design ability. It's also hard on the first episode to sort of pick out the people, so I could completely fall on my face with that. My fourth is Aaron, and I feel like you're gonna just rake me over the coals for picking this, but I thought he had a really unique perspective with this look, and I'm curious to see more, and that's why.
My fourth is Kenya, just because it seems like she is, if one of the things that in the judging that they pointed out was how well that dress fit, how intricate it was,
mm-hmm.
and how she was able to do that in one day.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like she is going to have the skills to put together great looks on the time crunches, which is a major part of this show.
For sure.
I have Amy as my number three.
Oh, interesting.
I was just really impressed with the creativity of that jacket to dress thing. Like I said, probably a little too early to break that out, but it is that kind of inventiveness that really can help you in this show.
For sure. My number three is Margarita. I think she should have been a top look this challenge. I'm curious to see more from her as far as her use of color and just design. So I think she's going to be a strong contestant. Oh, my number two is Kenya, for all the reasons essentially that Curtis has already enumerated.
right. I have Kentaro as number two.
That's so shocking to me.
I really liked his look. I thought he was going to win, honestly.
Really?
Yeah. When I chose my winner, it was going to be Kentaro. Just because I thought that just the design aspect of that outfit that he put together, I thought was great. Everything looked very, very sharp, very, very well made. A lot of movement, a lot of flow, the contrast. I thought it was all great.
It just wasn't very modern to me.
So my number one is Deontay.
Me too.
I mean, hard to not choose right. the winner
Can't
of the very
the
first
winner.
Very first challenge. But something that the judges pointed out in this is just that the placing of that large print, and it was very, very intricate. It took planning. It took a very well-trained eye to be able to do that. So, you know, like I said before, that I thought it was kind of plain, but he took that kind of simple and plainness and really made the most out of it.
For sure. I think that he kind of is poised to just do really well. He seems to really understand designing and constructing clothes. So I imagine we'll be seeing him in the top quite a bit more.
So that is our opening episode.
Episode one.
Next week, it looks like we're going to get to Antoinette's favorite yeah. right away. An unconventional materials challenge.
Oh, boo.
So at least they're doing it early.
Although there was one season because we're going
there
back.
There was like five.
We're watching season 12 again just because it's on Hulu for some reason. They didn't, yeah, like four of them. And I really hope they don't do that because it doesn't make sense to me personally. But that's all. You got anything else?
No, I think that is it. Hopefully we can find time in our busy lives to get this as close to Thursday as possible next week.
That is our goal.
So on that note, we will see you next time. Auf Wiedersehen.